This is the Lunch Bunch with Andrew Hawthorne and Company on VOCM. For the next half hour, we will peek behind the big stories we are all talking about today. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your host of the Lunch Bunch, Andrew Hawthorne.
Hello, everybody. My name is Andrew Hawthorne. Welcome to the Lunch Bunch. It is 12:30 on Tuesday, and it's the same weather that it's been on Tuesday for the last 8-9 days. I don't know, Dave. It's been the same forever. It's just, we're in that mucky period now. At least right now we have like Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's and all that good stuff to look forward to. Like once we get past this is it. It's just grayness forever. Gray forever. That's our battle cry here in Newfoundland and Labrador. But hey, nobody ever claims that we live here for the weather. My guest today doesn't live here for the weather. His name's John Seary from Drive Electric NL. How are you doing, John?
Hey, not too bad. Great to be here.
Thank you for coming in. So you've been talking about electric vehicles in the province and trying to promote electric vehicles and their use. You were up on Confederation Hill with a lot of this stuff. What's like the first thing that you want people to know about EVs in their current state right now?
Boy, I'm having so much fun driving this car and driving our EVs in general. And that's something that people, they really need to go out, get in one, take it for a drive, and then they'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I certainly did. So we just went for a drive and in your, what is it, a Tesla Model X?
Yep.
Which is like a Tesla SUV. And I've never been in an electric vehicle before. And, you know, I knew the basics, that it had, like, pickup, and I knew that it was very quiet and of course, environmentally friendly and all that stuff. I had no idea about the rest of it, that it was like you were in a spaceship the whole time. But we'll talk about that as we go.
Every morning I look forward to going in and getting in that car. It doesn't matter where I have to go. That's the highlight of my day.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not crazy. It makes total sense when you're in the vehicle, but the vehicle itself is somewhat crazy. You know, we're kind of just in the early stages of this societal shift that we're in. We're developing new charging stations across the island, and you know, the prices are coming down. We see the Cybertruck is only the same price or less than any other truck on the market now. Are we seeing that kind of pickup so far here in, not pickup like a truck, we're seeing that kind of pickup too, I guess. But are people like getting into EVs here locally more than they have been? Like, is there critical mass building?
There will be. That's what my job is, to make sure there will be. We are behind what the rest of the country is doing for sure. But that means that we have a bigger selection available to us that other provinces didn't have when they started out. And we have better prices coming on for a greater selection of EVs. The charging infrastructure is a little bit lagging. We're a couple of years behind the rest of the country, which it doesn't make any sense. There's nothing that stops those cars from working just perfectly here. I don't care what anybody says. It's not going to be a problem with the snow. It doesn't have a problem with the cold. We use them in Norway. We use them in Quebec.
Well, Norway has the most electric vehicles per capita in the world.
Right.
That's why the cold argument never made sense to me, because colder places than us have more electric vehicles than we do.
Yeah. The bigger issue with EVs and batteries is heat. You need to keep those batteries without getting too hot. So down in the southern U.S., yeah, it's an issue, and they make sure that they have cooling systems. Up here, you'll get a little bit of a range hit with the cold, probably because you're running your heating a lot more. Mm. You'll get a little less range when you push it through snow or slush, but that's true of any car. The EVs that are coming out now have plenty of range. Most people drive 50 to 70 kilometers a day. Any EV can do that.
Wow. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I'm talking with John Seary, and we're going to get the who and the why about electric vehicles here in the province on the VOCM Lunch Bunch. Please stay tuned.
This is the Lunch Bunch on VOCM. Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
We're back. I'm speaking with John Seary of Drive Electric NL. A whole pack of you EV drivers were up on Confederation Hill there a few weeks ago to demonstrate. And of course, you're out. You're taking it to the streets every day with your commutes.
Literally. Yep.
But the question is, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, John?
So the Drive Electric NL is myself and Joe Butler. And Joe, I'll refer to him first. He comes from more of the environmental background and the efficiency background, as well as business. And
a lot of people want to like I'm going to take the hit. I'm going to spring for an electric car, and now I've got no emissions, and I'm not part of the problem.
Yeah, no emissions and lower cost, absolutely more efficient. I come from partially that, and partially I'm more of a technology guy and a business guy.
You're an early adopter, would you say?
Yeah, I had one of the first small cell phones. You pay a premium for that. I wasn't the first one with a with an iPhone or anything like that. But, you know, every now and again, I see something that makes a lot of sense. There's something different, though, about the electric car. A lot of people will look at you, oh, yeah, you're just a little tree hugger, whatever. You know, go away. You know, that's not it. This is a car that has fantastic performance. It's smooth. It's quiet. I can overtake whenever I want. I don't have to wait for anything. I don't have to chug it over to gas stations. It looks after itself. There's no more effort to charging an electric car than there is to having a cell phone. And everybody has a cell phone now. Everybody knows how to plug in their cell phone. Nobody worries about losing charge on their cell phone. It's the same with electric car. But there's another aspect to it. You can get yourself a nice cell phone, and that's great for you, but what's it do for me? I don't have that cell phone. But when I have an electric car, that's great for me. But everybody else around benefits. Everybody else gets lower noise. They get less pollution, less stuff in the air, less stink. And in in our province, we need to build up a market for our electricity so that we can make best use of the Muskrat Falls power. And that helps with rate mitigation, which is a huge, huge thing. If we all had EVs, we wouldn't have the Muskrat Falls question.
Yeah, so let's get into to some of this. You were talking about, you know, the benefits and the gadgets and the tech aspect of this. So we just went for a ride in your car. We went mm-hmm. for a ride in your car. And I've never been in an electric vehicle before. And there's some stuff that you hear a lot that I anticipated, right? So zero emissions, and it's super quiet. Mm-hmm. And you said, like, some models of electric cars have, like, sounds built into them now just to warn people they're coming?
Yeah. A lot of the Nissan Leaf, my wife's Nissan Leaf makes a little chime sound as she's driving at slow speed or backing or whatever. So I make fun of her by standing out in the driveway and plugging my ears and shaking my head and stuff like that. But a lot of them are building in that sound. And it might be one of those things that some local rules will look for. Because a lot of pedestrians rely on the audio cue.
Makes sense.
Of a car coming.
But that's something.
And when that goes away.
We didn't have that with horses, so I guess we had clip-clopping.
We had coconuts.
Right. Do you think so? So a lot of, and we're getting more into this right now, but a lot of this is customizable to whatever you want it to be.
Yep.
Do you think you'll be able to download sounds for your car? Like, if I want my car to sound like a Harley, is that going to be an option that Tesla is going to give me?
I've heard word that there will be customized sounds, you could choose from a selection of ones that will comply. And I do remember seeing at one point somebody hinting that you might be able to get the coconuts.
The coconuts. That'll definitely get people respecting your vehicle as you drive by.
But look at your cell phone. Look at all the customization. You can do the little fancy covers. You can do your own background. You can do your own ringtones. You can make pictures come up. All that stuff. Well, same thing true with your EV.
Well, and this is what shocked me just then. So we went in your car and we drove around and stuff, and it's fine, you know, it performs great and it has a massive pickup when you hit the accelerator and all this stuff. What I didn't expect was that all of that stuff is customizable just like your settings on your phone. And you brought up the settings on your vehicle out there, your Model mm-hmm. X, and you can alter the acceleration to have it a little more sluggish, a little more peppy. You can alter the
ride height. Yeah.
The ride height. You can jack up your car with the press of a button if you want to change, like, mm-hmm. everything about it. You can change whether or not it moves forward riding the brake, whether or
right.
not the car is slowly moving forward. Or yeah. just sitting there if you're not pressing the brake. You can change everything about the way your car performs under your settings.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
insane.
Yeah. And we have that insane mode as well as ludicrous mode if you really want to go fast. The slower modes, which you said a little less peppy, is actually called chill. And what they found is that some people who used to get car sick, you put it in chill mode, don't get car sick anymore.
And all of these settings are constantly being updated and tweaking. They're taking feedback on stuff. There mm-hmm. was one setting you said just came out this month about timing it to set itself up for you during your morning commute.
Right. So if you're doing a long commute, you wanted to leave with a full battery and you wanted the car fully warmed up and preconditioned and so on, I just had to set what time of the day I want to leave. and it does the rest of the calculations for me. I have a feature called dog mode now. If I get out of the car, it will keep the air conditioning running and display what the temperature is and indicate that it's set there to be okay climate for if you leave a pet in the vehicle.
Yeah, with a little sign on the screen that says, please don't smash my windows. Here's a dog.
Yeah, yeah, unless you're in the Cybertruck and then you don't have to worry about that.
Unless you've got a baseball.
Steel ball.
Okay, so let's talk about the Cybertruck. So they announced the Cybertruck. The launch didn't go entirely according to plan.
I think there might have been a little more planning than people thought.
Do you think?
I think so, because how many people heard about the Cybertruck window breaking that didn't hear about the Cybertruck?
Okay, fair.
All right.
So you think maybe they staged the goo? Because, you know, what it brought to mind for me was exactly the same thing 30 years ago now, where they unveiled a new technology, they said it was unbreakable and awesome, and immediately smashed it to 1,000 pieces, and it was CDs.
Oh, yeah.
The first CD, they said, it's unbreakable, immediately broke it.
Of course.
And, of course, CDs went on to become the dominant form of media for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
But everybody was making fun of them at first.
Of course.
This exact thing just happened with the Cybertruck.
Well, look what they did. They said, hey, we have windows on a truck that you can't break, and then they set up a demonstration, they dropped marbles on this and steel balls bigger and bigger from 12 and 16 feet up, and then they lobbed it at the truck and broke it. So they've already proved it isn't going to break, and then they did a fail to get people to laugh at and attention, and now there's all kinds of talk about that. I think that that was probably a little bit more planned than people...
Insidious. Wow.
But why not?
Okay, so but about the Cybertruck. So, you know, we know it's a well-performing truck, and we know that it's very affordable. It's only $40,000 American.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a box, though. Like, are you okay with the design?
The box, the boxy design, I'm okay with the design based on what it does. And what it does is it gives you a true utility truck. You look at the trucks that you buy right now, and they are flashy bodies trying to look streamlined. But take it out to the Long Harbor site, take it out to the construction site, bring it down to the Robin Hood Bay, and you're going to go, oh, Jesus, don't go near my truck. Watch that piece of 2x4 that you're unloading from the back. I've dropped scaffolding against my brand new trucks in the past. I just carried a computer into one time, and I touched the body and gave it a little dent.
Oh, no.
Brand new truck. Like, I actually had that the day I bought it. This isn't the problem with the Cybertruck. They showed that you can take a sledgehammer. They took a good 10-pound sledge, and they whacked it at the door, and they did not make a dent or a scratch. They've actually designed a truck to work like a truck. So that's the first thing, and it still looks just the same as the day you bought it. And you can get it in different colors if you want. There's a bunch of stuff that's going to come with that truck that once the people realize, hey, you can do what? They're going to say, I don't care what it looks like. I need that. So, for instance, if you look at the truck, it's a massive battery pack, a powerhouse on wheels. And in the back, you have connections for 120 and 240-volt power takeoff, built in, ready to go, as well as air compressor. So look at all the contractors that do job sites where you don't have utility power on hand first, or you don't have a compressor there, which is just about all of them. The guy that has the standard truck will roll in, he'll unload his compressor, maybe he's doing roofing, he'll look for a power source, or he'll be running a generator all day long, and then he can get started with work. The guy with the Cybertruck will roll in, provides job site power for everybody, and already has his hose ready to go, and he's up getting started. And that's a half hour he saved every single day.
Yeah, you mentioned
right
that.
Right off the bat.
with those connections in the back, if we had a brownout here or a power outage for a couple of days, you could power your house off the Cybertruck.
Well, I don't know the capacity, but they said it was a 240-volt connection. And so 120 and 240-volt connections available at the back. So what are you going to do with that? Well, what does everybody that's got an idea as to how to set up a transfer switch and a generator outside do? They switch over their transfer switch, and they power up their 5,000-watt generator, and they try and keep their refrigerators and stuff running. And they can do that with the truck.
Wow. And you know, like, quite frankly, the design's kind of growing on me. It looks like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
There's a real good one, you know, the stages of Cybertruck adoption, which takes between 4 and 24 hours, which was, oh my God, what is that thing? Hey, I kind of like this. And then finally, all other trucks are dead to me now.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're talking EVs and Cybertrucks and other things that look like boxes. I don't know. Here on VOCM Lunch Bunch. Stay tuned, folks.
Linda Swain is talking politics, crime, arts, education, and even a little trash. It's On Target St. John's. What's happening here from the people who know? Today at 1 on VOCM. Now back to Andrew Hawthorne and the Lunch Bunch on VOCM.
We're back. Pardon me, I'm eating rockets. I don't know if I'm the only one that has... are you enjoying your rockets here?
Yeah, that's great. You want to hear what it sounds like when I eat one on air?
They're very good. We're still picking away at Halloween candy here. It's not quite Christmas. We're still under the wire on that one. I'm talking with John Seary of Drive Electric NL. We've been talking about electric vehicles. We just went for a ride in one. And like I was saying before, you know, you hear certain things about electric vehicles on the positive side, you know, how fast they are, how efficient they are, and things like that. But what I didn't realize was it's like being in a Star Trek shuttlecraft with all these different options and things like that. You also hear other things on the other side of electric vehicles, misconceptions or criticisms towards some of those. And what do you hear about? Like, people are asking questions like, for example, the price. Like, how do you answer some of the criticisms or misconceptions people have?
The Tesla I have is one of their premium models. And the reason why I have that, it was the first electric vehicle that was made that was four-wheel drive. I came from pickup trucks. I needed four-wheel drive. I also needed six seats because we have four kids. I want to be able to hold the whole family. So that fit the bill on that. It also has a 5,000-pound towing capacity. So it's got a lot of stuff in it that makes it an expensive car. But that was 4 years ago, and now I can start to see cars with similar specs coming down in price. And so there's all kinds of different brands out there, and Tesla themselves has a lot less expensive brands. Their Model 3 and eventually their Model Y will have the sedan and SUV sizing and capacity for a fraction of the cost of the original ones. And there's a lot to be said for the Tesla because they've dedicated to building an electric car, whereas the other models are trying to come up with something that will run on electricity. There's the other issue though we have is there's lots of good cars out there, affordable cars to purchase, brand new affordable, but the local dealers here are still waiting to see all the infrastructure in place before they bring them in. We do have several models available, and I congratulate the dealers who've done that. But I'd like to see the remaining cars that we can get elsewhere in Canada brought in.
What do we have available here right now? If I was like, nuts to it, I'm going electric, and walked out on Kenman Road and looked left and looked right, would I be able to find something?
Yeah, you can get the Chevy Bolt down the road. Congratulations to them to bringing that in and selling and servicing it. You can also get the Audi e-tron if you'd like something a little more high-end. Tesla will do their own service on their vehicles. They have a service tech who visits here.
That was fascinating, and I asked you about that while we were in the car, because, you know, I understand there's less service for an electric vehicle. There's no engine in it, and there's fewer moving parts. But, you know, what if somebody smashes out my window to get my change or something like that? Then what do I do? And you had a ready answer for this.
Yeah, so body work, window work, brake work, tires, that's all standard stuff. Any garage can do that. Warranty stuff, the tooling required to service an electric vehicle is about half that of what's required for a gas car. And the maintenance frequency and amount is about 1/8. So the Tesla service tech, who right now is a fellow based from Halifax to cover here, and gradually they're moving east. That's, you know, steadily been increasing over the last couple of years, getting closer and closer. But he arrives with a hard-sided suitcase-sized tool case, and the only thing that he might need besides that is a trolley jack.
Wow. Yeah, unless you can jack the car up yourself like you came with yours.
Yeah, well, you can raise the suspension, and they sometimes do that as well. That service tech can do about 80% of the work that's done at a full service center.
Can you do that thing with the car like you see in a hip-hop video where it just starts bouncing up and down on its front wheels?
It actually does something a bit more funny than that. It actually will perform one of the Christmas marches and flap all the doors and flash the lights to the music. It's a standalone performance.
Okay, and I mean, you also showed me its whoopee cushion function, where you can just set up an electronic whoopee cushion under any of the chairs at will.
Yeah, these are some of the more advanced features of the Tesla.
Yeah, this is a little more sophisticated than a lot of you might understand.
Yeah, the Tesla likes making what they call little Easter eggs, and some of them are catchy, and you know, other things like the Atari video games are in there. There's also a sketch screen. And what it does mean is that if you got kids in the car, you want them to wait there for a bit. My daughter likes to bring up the sketch screen and draw a picture on the screen, and it keeps her occupied while I might be doing something outside the car for a period of time. It's quite handy, actually.
So, you know, I'm out there champing at the bit trying to get my daughter to draw on my car and stuff like that. What is the province doing to ensure that I can have this vehicle with that infrastructure? You said they're waiting for the infrastructure.
Yeah, so the last budget, 2019 budget, had $2 million set aside for EV charging. So how this works, this is just the last piece of equipment to sell you some electricity, and it's all that it is. We spend far more money on all kinds of other bits and pieces in the electrical grid, but this one seems to have special notice. So that money went towards covering the Trans-Canada Highway with chargers. And then a couple of weeks ago, the private members resolution, which was unanimously passed by all parties and all members of government, directed the government to continue to put money in to expand that charging network to reach all areas of the province. And that charging is useful when you need to do long distance drives. Regular day-to-day commuting, you charge at home, you go on. You never need to go to these chargers. It's only when you want to go and crisscross the province, or we have that all-important tourist traffic and visitors who are the type of people that want to explore the whole province. They want to drive everywhere, because you're not going to fly in and fly out of these small but very important places to go visit. You've got to drive it, and this is how we do it.
So, you know, we've only got a minute left here, but what is the next step? Where does the province need to go as this technology advances, as these vehicles are being picked up, as we move towards this? And not just the province, but private. Like, is the next step having a dedicated Tesla dealer? Is the next step developing a faster charging station? Where do we go after that is adopted?
Yeah, Nova Scotia put in their fast chargers in 2018, and by 2019 they had two other private companies coming in and putting in more fast chargers, and I see MPEI and now Canadian Tires putting them in. This will come along with the first ones after the first ones are put in, but we want to see the dealers step up now. We want to see the vehicles be available for people to get them, for sure. So take the opportunity when you're traveling, take one for a test drive if you can find one, come back here and demand that they get them for you, because they are so much fun.
Yeah, the local dealers are doing their part. They're bringing some in. So ask your local dealer, obviously, if you want to, because it really is crazy. John Seary, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for showing me your crazy space car. That was a lot of fun. And thank you for eating my rockets. That has been your VOCM Lunch Bunch for today. If you want to come on the Lunch Bunch, we got more rockets. That's okay.
Oh, sweet.
They're very nice, right?
Appreciate it.
Stay tuned for On Target St. John's. Take care, folks.